may have heard it taught before, but the same thing that you've heard before. Anyway, in Romans chapter 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the what?
Gospel.
The gospel of God. Verse 2 says, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the gospel of God was promised before in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was a Judean of the nation of Israel. And he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. A better translation would read, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who came from the seed of David according to the flesh, who was marked out as the Son of God with power according to the Spirit. That's God, who is holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Does that make any more sense to you?
Yeah.
It reads kind of awkwardly in the King James. But he was marked out the Son of God with power according to the Spirit, who is holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. You see, Jesus Christ, being a man like you and me, he was dead. And what marked him out, what set him apart from everyone else, was that God resurrected him from the dead. A dead man. Look at Acts 13. Save your place here. We'll be coming back to this all night. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13 and in verse 22. And we read 13:22. This is the record, 13:22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. You can read about that in John chapter 1. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is the word of this salvation what? Abraham had a son by promise. His name was Isaac. Isaac had a child of promise. His name was
Jacob.
Jacob had 12 sons who formed the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. So far, that's all we've read about. Most of us didn't come from one of those 12 tribes, did we? We were Gentiles. The word Gentiles is in the Greek ethnos. It's translated Gentiles or nations. The thing that was different was Israel, was God made a covenant with them that he would be their God and they would be his people. So he's rehearsing all these things under these people that were present. Verse 26, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whoso among you fears God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Who was Jesus Christ sent to? The nation of Israel. He was of the tribe of Judah. And he was sent to confirm the promises of the fathers to them. When Gentiles came to him, there was a lady that came to him and wanted her wanted Jesus to minister to her son. And he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, you're a Gentile. You're a dog. And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs off the table, don't they? And he said, I hadn't seen this kind of believing in the whole nation of Israel. She had to figure it out. Verse 27, and they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him, what? But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who were his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's in Psalm 2, verse 7. He begot him as his son and marked him out in his resurrection from the dead. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Verse 20:35. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. That's this gospel we're looking at here in Romans chapter 1. Some of the promise was known beforehand. He promised by his prophets in the Holy Scripture concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, and namely, Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one that was raised of the dead. Then it says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel is mentioned again in verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the what? The gospel of his son. The word gospel means proclamation of good news. It's to set forth good news. That without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. It comes up again in verse, start in verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the what? To you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. The words of Christ are not in any critical Greek text. So just scratch them out. They were added probably for our understanding, an overgloss of the first part of the chapter. As much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, this is the gospel of God concerning Christ. The gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Unto salvation. You know, good to have you, bro. God bless. Welcome. Come on in and have a seat. After a while, sometimes people get numb to salvation. They take it for granted. I've even heard believers say, well, what good is God anyway? Hell, we abundantly share, don't see anything we got out of it. Hell, we do this, we go witness, nobody believes it. What's the difference anyway? Well, I'm just about 70. Pretty soon, I think it'll be quite evident to me. 70 years, 80 years, suppose you live to be 90, and you look at a hole in the ground. Salvation becomes a pretty good deal. God's Son didn't corrupt in the grave. He raised him, the dead one, from death. That's the gospel of God concerning his Son. Some of it was foretold. The resurrection was foretold. The promises made to Abraham were foretold. The covenants that Israel had with God, they had the promises given to them. They had the covenants. They had the glory. They had the adoption. They had it all. Well, what good is it if it's only 60, 70, 80 years and a hole in the ground? We have the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today we have a deposit, a token of that life by the Spirit of God in us. But that's not the reason God saved us. He saved us for our glorification. He called us by his grace in Christ. And in Christ he justified us from all sin. That's a pretty good start. Not only did he call us in Christ and justify us from all sin, he set us apart from all other people on the face of the earth. Out of every human being that's ever lived, you're going to get up when he sends his Son back to say, rise, or whatever the word of command is he gives him, and we will stand up. Some of us will be alive. Some of us will probably have fallen asleep, unless he comes pretty quick. We have that promise of life in Christ Jesus. That's pretty sacred a promise. It's the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that gospel, it says, is the power of God unto salvation. See, Elijah saw how many miracles during his 40-year ministry? Maybe 8. Elijah saw twice that. What's that? 16. One day when I was ready to give up the ghost and the ship and everything else with it, I just didn't want to live anymore. And I said, I'm just going to roll over and face the wall. And I started writing down. God just inspired me to sit down and start writing down the miracles I had seen in my life. At about 50, I was in tears. And I just couldn't believe how unthankful I was, regardless of what I was facing. Seen the dead raised 3 times. Been a part of it. I've seen miracles just like you read with Elijah and Elijah and other men. The things that God has done for his people. He's allowed me to see his promises. He gives me a throne of grace that I can find help in time of need, and I have the right to use it with boldness and confidence. I have a spirit in me, and he gives me 9 manifestations of the spirit that I can operate as I will. It's unbelievable what he's done for us. The gospel concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For therein, the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, or the foundation he laid for faith, which is the gospel, to faith, which produces faith or believing. As it is written, the just shall live by faith or believing. That's quite an opening to a book. This gospel was preached before. Look in Acts chapter 3. There are different facets to the gospel of God concerning Christ. In Acts 3 we read, beginning in verse 13, this is after he healed the man that had been crippled from his birth, never walked, over 40 years. And Peter and John passed by, and he said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, get up. And he stood up instantly on his feet. And he was leaping and praising God. That'd been a good situation to see, huh? Oh, yeah. So then they wanted to take them as though they were something special. Verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered to the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look so you earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, they were all Israelites, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired instead a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Wow. He wasn't too light on him, was he? And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Must have been a southern guy. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his what? That Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So he's coming again. That's part of the gospel. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since when?
The world began.
So this gospel's been known for a while, parts of it. For Moses truly said to the fathers, of prophets shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those that follow after, as many of us spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets, he said to this group, and of the covenant which God made with our what? Our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So here's another aspect of the gospel. These were children of Israel and of the covenant that God made with their forefathers. even with Abraham. And he says, in thy seed, all the kindreds of the earth shall be blessed. He doesn't specify how they shall be blessed, the manner in which he would bless them, but there was not a secret that they would be blessed. Isn't that wonderful? We're Gentiles. So there was some kind of blessing said, told him aforetime. Unto you first, he says to the Israelites, the Judeans, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So this was the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. This gospel is the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached and he wrote about. It's the same gospel all the way from Romans to 2 Thessalonians and further. Everything he penned concerned the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So this was promised before time, this part of it. Look at another place. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter. James Peter. Peter writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what end? To an inheritance incorruptible. Well, when I die, my family will get something. All of it's corruptible. Not much there. But they'll get this corruptible stuff. Our corruptible in Christ is not corruptible. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away. And it's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And we do live in the last times according to the word. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. When?
At
the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's the end to which all these promises were made, and that's when the glory begins. Whom, having not seen the Lord Jesus Christ, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Just imagine, every believer who has ever lived will all participate in this hope of the gospel. Every last one of them, either in this age or in the next age or in the previous age. God's got it all figured out. And they will rise up and stand on their feet. Where is it in the Isaiah where it's at the valley of bones? He says the Son of Man's going to give the command and the bones are going to quake upon each other and come together. And then he's going to put flesh on them, and then he's going to breathe in them, and they will rise up and stand on his feet. It says, then they'll know who the hell the Lord is. Yeah, that'll be quite a day, won't it?
Yeah.
We're going to stand up in the gathering together. That's one phase of it. There's what's called the first resurrection. All of those after we're gone and hear the word, they're going to be martyred. Glad I'm not going to be in it in the Lord's day. But God's going to raise them from the dead. And they will stand on their feet, rule with Christ for 1,000 years in Israel. Then there's going to be another resurrection at the end of that 1,000 years. And then there's going to be a little separation out and a little rising up. And those whose names are in the book of life are going to get up in resurrection and be judged as righteous. And those who aren't in the book of life, they're going to die the second death and be destroyed. If we got nothing out of it but the hope of the promise, we'd be doing pretty good. But we got so much more. So much more. We live in the age of the grace of God. We'll get to it. But part of this gospel concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, was known beforehand. Starts in Genesis 3:15. And then we'll read some of the other stuff made known to Abraham and them. But here we are. In verse 9, receiving the end of your believing, even the salvation of your what?
Souls.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Grace, his divine favor towards you. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit. Now you got the words of Christ. Scratch them there. What or what manner of time the Spirit which was in them did signify the words of Christ. Go after that. After the word signify. So searching what or what manner of time the Spirit which was in them did signify of Christ. When it what?
Testified
beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the what?
Glory.
That's part of the gospel of God concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord too. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that preached the what?
Gospel
unto you. The good proclamation, the good news, with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And he's revealed them to us. Isn't that amazing? Oh, if only I'd been with Jesus. Hey, I wouldn't give what he has done for me in Christ for all the experiences on earth. I wouldn't have given anything of what I've got just to see him walk on the water or to have been Peter and sink with him there or any of the miracles that he did. I'm completely content to be in Christ, a member of the body of Christ, to be glorified together with him. Wouldn't trade it for anything. The angels desire to look into it. Look in Galatians. This is part of that gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 3. Let's start in verse 8. You see, the gospel of God concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord was corrupted even in the first century. Some of those Judeans would have rather to live under the law. So they mixed certain things of the law together with the revelation of the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ, which was committed to the Apostle Paul. Others were teaching that the day of the Lord had set in. And they weren't in this administration of grace, but they were in the next, the future administration. And they were going to come under the wrath of God and go through this tribulation and of all of that. So they corrupted the gospel of the grace of God concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, and they mixed it in with that. This was while Paul was still ministering. He would go into fellowships and have to deal with this stuff everywhere he went. Some were teaching that the resurrection was past already. This is in his own lifetime. And we wonder why we have to deal with so many problems today, that people have problems with the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at, where did I say, verse 8? Chapter 3, verse 8. So he's dealing with them here, and he's got to reteach them the doctrine all over again, because they wanted to mix it with the law. And he says in verse 8, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of what? And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the Gentiles, through faith or believing, preached before the gospel unto who?
Abraham,
saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Well, Israel was one nation, but this includes all nations would be blessed in Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, speaking of the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. You break one, you're what? Guilty of all. Whoa. You know, we're going to read more about the law later on. The law wasn't given for salvation. The law made known the knowledge of sin. And it should have shut everybody's mouth up, because it pointed out that every human being was guilty before God and deserved the wrath of God. We'll look at that after the break. Not a good place to be. Not good at all. Well, some people, instead of believing the gospel concerning Jesus Christ our Lord, they wanted to go back under the law and be guilty. Come under the curse of the law. Cursed is your corn and your field. Cursed is your store. Cursed is your business. Cursed is your womb. Curse, curse, curse. Not good. Why would you want to live under that? I don't know. I sure don't. I'm a wuss. I just want to be righteous before God. I may be a miserable person, but I'm righteous before God. Look at verse 11. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident, it's clear, it's plain. How many ever kept it? No one kept it but Jesus Christ. He is the only man ever to keep the law. So how many people are guilty of it? Every one of them that it was given to, every Israelite. And they came under the curse. Just read what's written. But that no man is justified, verse 11, by the law in the sight of God, it's evident, it's clear, it's plain. For the just shall live by what?
Faith,
which is the Greek word pistis, believing. Just like Abraham believed what God said, and God counted it to him for what? He's the prototype of every human being that should live by believing the promise of God. And the law is not a believing, verse 12. But the man that does those things shall live what? In them. Now look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And how did he die? He hung on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, the nations, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith or believing. You see, there was an old covenant, which was the law that God made with Israel when he gave them the law, and he covenanted to them that he would be their God and they would be his people. And he said, if you will walk in these statutes, then I will bless you. A covenant is a bilateral agreement. Say, George and I made a covenant. And I'm going to, George, I'm going to give you this book over here. If you come to my house this next year, that'd be the term of the covenant. I'm giving you the book as a token, and you're saying you accept it, and you're going to come to my house this year. It's a bilateral agreement. There were terms negotiated, and both parties accepted them. I need it. You have it later. So God made a covenant with Israel in Mount Horeb, which is also in Sinai, when he gave them the law. And Moses read them the law. We'll get to it a little later on. And they said, oh yes, we'll keep it. So we went back up to God. He mediated between Israel and God. And he says, you know what they're doing back there? Remember the first commandment I gave them? They've already broken it. They were making a golden calf. So they were guilty of what? The whole law. So then they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness because they broke the terms of the covenant that God made with Israel, and they said, oh yes, we will keep it. Isn't that something? You want to go back and live under the law? I don't. I'll take this grace of God shown me in Christ any day of the week. We're going to go back and take a look at Abraham and take a look at Moses and that covenant after a while. Let's keep going here in chapter 3. So we got that the blessing of Abraham, verse 14, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and to his seed were promises made. We'll read those later too. He promised him that his seed would inherit the land where the Canaanites lived. Then he made a second covenant with him, and he had a little circumcision. He had terms and agreements to do things. But anyway, to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. That's the seed that came from Abraham. He came by promise. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God, scratch the words in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after or later, cannot disannul that it should make the promise made to Abraham of non-effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more of what?
Promise.
But God gave it to Abraham by what?
Promise.
Well, why on earth then do you have the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promises were made. Why did God give them the law? Basically, to preserve them as a nation so they didn't kill each other off before Christ could come. He gave it because of transgressions. Sin is sin. It's missed the mark. You do against God's will. Transgression is when you legally break the law. That's a transgression. Before he even got back up to the top of the mount, they'd already broken the law. I could read... they got carried off. The house of Israel and the house of Judah got carried off into captivity because they broke the law and they walked so far away with God, he couldn't help them if he wanted to. But they agreed to the terms of the covenant that God made with them. Said, oh yeah, we'll do her. Didn't he make it to the top of the hill? Verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by what?
Promise.
Wherefore serves the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And we just read who the seed was. Who is the seed?
Jesus.
Christ. Yes. And he was sent to whom? Israel. Wherefore, okay. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Verse 20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is what?
One.
That'd be the end of my argument right there. Is the law then against the promises of God?
No.
Oh, God forbid. Now, look what comes up. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the law could not give life. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, this is a metonymy. It's speaking of the foundation. The foundation for believing came. We were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be what?
Redeemed.
Now we have the foundation of the gospel of God laid as a standard that God declares people just when they believe it. No longer a standard set by the law, but a standard according to the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which declares his grace to them because of his accomplishments. But before this foundation came, this foundation for believing, speaking of the gospel of God, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, our tutor. In the lands and times of the Bible, being a grandfather, if I had children, they would have children. Then I would take my grandchildren and I would be their protagoge, is the Greek word. They would come under my care. I'd go over the lessons with them at night. I would walk them to school. I would sit there in their lessons at school. I would bring them back home, and I'd do the homework with them with a switch in my hand. And if they didn't do the homework, they got the switch. That's the culture this was written in. The law was our protagoge. It took care of them like a grandfather would take care of his children until the promise came. So the law was our schoolmaster until Christ. The preposition unto ought to be until. Until Christ. That we might be justified by what?
Faith
or believing. But after that faith is come or has come, we're no longer under the prosagoge, the schoolmaster. For you're all children of God, Jews or Gentiles, by believing in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on what? There's neither Jew nor Greek. And here, this is an idiomatic usage of Greek, stands for Gentiles, all Gentiles. Mm-hmm. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all what?
One.
One in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Boy, we went from having no promise, no covenants, no circumcision, no nothing, no promise of Christ coming, no hope of glory, none of it, to this point. Not bad, huh? Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a kid, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the what? Again, that's Israel. That we might receive the adoption of sons. God placed Israel as his children by adoption, a legal process. We are not sons of God by adoption. We are placed as God's sons by the new birth. We're born of his Spirit. In the King James, it says adoption. It's the word huiothesia. It's translated sonship and it's translated adoption. Israel were adopted children by covenant promise. We are children of God by the birth from above, that of his Spirit. We're born of his Spirit. God brought us into his category. God is holy and God is Spirit. And when we confess Jesus Christ is Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, we're made whole. We receive his Spirit. And we're going to read in Ephesians, we're holy in Christ. So God is Holy Spirit, and he gave us that which he is, which is Holy Spirit, and he now considers us holy and without blame before him. Not a bad place to be. From being guilty of the whole law to now being holy and without blame before him. I'll take this gospel of the grace of God any day of the week. Not bad, huh? So, this gospel was promised before. We've read about parts of it that were promised, but there's a different aspect of the gospel. Look in Romans 16. Romans chapter 16. We read in verse 25. Now to him that has power to establish you, the Apostle Paul is speaking now by revelation, according to my what? And the preaching of Jesus Christ. What's the standard? According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So, the Gospels concerning God's Son had some things that were known ahead of time, aforetime, from Abraham on, and other things were hid in God from the foundation of the world that he didn't tell anybody about. Those two elements combine to make the gospel concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and his grace towards us. And it's all based on Jesus Christ's accomplishments. And then by his divine favor, he's made it known to us. So, the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, some of it had been promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, and another part had been a mystery hidden God previously until he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians. Might as well glue your marker there. We'll probably be in Ephesians a lot this weekend. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his what? According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. To what end? That in the dispensation or administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both are which are in heaven, the angels, and which are on earth, his people, even in him. That's the end of this thing. Look in chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for who? You Gentiles, if you have heard of the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And here it is, that the Gentiles, the people of the nations, the Gentiles, should be fellow heirs. The word fellow, each of these three things has the Greek prefix S-U-N in front of it. It means joint. That the Gentiles might be joint heirs and of the same body with the Israelites. We're all now members of a new body we'll get to later on. And joint partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. We didn't have a promise to us before. Now we do. The same promise that God made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and to Israel now is ours as well. That the Gentiles may be fellow heirs and of the same joint body and partakers of the promise in Christ. How? By the gospel. So the gospel of God concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, it's the same in all of Paul's writings. Some of it was known before, and other parts were a mystery. The secret things, it says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things that he has revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So the mystery of his will has now been revealed and concerns both Jews of the nation of Israel and Gentiles. So let's take a break. I got about quarter after, close enough. How about if we break till 8:30? Okay, we got coffee in the back. What you got?
Water in the back, coffee outside.
Okay. Smoking out on the patio.
Hopefully we got it.
God bless you. So good to see you, man.
There you go.
Love you. You're my prayers every single day. Good to have you.
I have one upstairs in the attic. No one ever went up there. So we'll make like a bird pretty stuff that I like to do like
It's on 70 now. You stick it on 70.
Oh, wait.
I'll leave it.